Welcome to the Daily, Pedro.
Thank you very much, Rod. It's a pleasure to be here, and thank you for bringing attention to this important topic.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're all always talking about the joy of Christmas and all the things that it brings. Not from when you're little children, you get presents and so forth.
Yes.
So it's a good thing, isn't it?
Christmas can be fun.
It's fun, yes. But of course, people often think of the fun they had. They're not having fun now. And what are some of the things that you might see in someone, Pedro, that indicates that perhaps they're not travelling too well at Christmas?
Well, that's an interesting one, because one of the issues with mental health problems is that they can be so invisible, and I'll tell you why. It's because we have been taught, since we're very little, to pretend that we're okay. I mean, if somebody asks you in the street, Rod, how are you going? The normal response will be, yeah, I'm fine.
Yeah.
Even if your cat has died or something that you're not really happy about. Yeah. Because we've been conditioned
to. Yeah, I'm really good, you know.
Exactly.
People say, oh, yeah, I'm great, really good, yeah.
I do that all the time. Yeah. And then I walk away and say, well, I'm not really.
Yeah.
But I can't really bother people with my problems. That's not going to make me very popular.
Mm.
And that's people's response. Everybody feels like that. And the other thing, I'm here today, Rod, not as somebody with theoretical knowledge. I mean, in the early 1990s, I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder.
Mm-hmm.
So I call that my descent into hell.
Mm-hmm.
The descent into the hole. And I played in that hole for about 10 years, to the point in which I was heavily medicated with two or three drugs. And I was on a disability support pension. Suicide ideation was a common occurrence.
Oh.
And I really thought that was going to be it. And everybody told me that, okay, once you've got this, this is going to be it. And I know how horrible it feels when people ask you, how are you going? And you got to hear yourself tell that story again. It's a terrible feeling. So yeah. It doesn't surprise me sometimes that people don't want to talk about it because they bore themselves. And they've got a little bit of a self-hatred that I felt. How can everybody be so happy and I'm so unhappy? How can their life be so good and my life is so crap? Because there's a huge suffering. In the psychological space, in the psychological space.
Yeah, I know a few people with bipolar disorder. In fact, I was told by a psychiatrist friend that I have a disproportionate number of friends who have bipolar disorder. Maybe it's because I so much enjoy their up times. When bipolar people are up, it is a wild ride indeed.
Absolutely.
They don't sleep, they go out, they have fun, they party. But of course, I know with a lot of my friends, when they're in a down period, they want to sort of shut themselves away because they don't want to inflict themselves on their friends.
Yes.
And of course that makes it even worse, I suppose, doesn't it?
Makes it even worse, because the best thing that you can do if you're going into that space is to get out of yourself and start thinking about others. And I think this is one of the tips that I could give to people if they're starting to feel lonely or unwell or something like that. You know, start thinking about how during these holidays you can give a little bit of cheer to other people. I mean, can you smile to people a little bit more to see their reaction to that? Wish them Merry Christmas if that's your thing, or wish them a nice holiday, or wish them a nice break, or just say hello to them. So get out of yourself and start sharing with people. That's good for your mental health. Going back to your question of how do we know if a person is going into a dangerous space?
Yes.
If there is a change. If you know the person,
mm-hmm.
and this person starts doing things that they don't normally would do, stop and spend a couple of minutes with that person and hear them out, suss them out. How are you going? What have you been up to? Share a little bit of yourself,
because
otherwise you can sound like an interrogator, an investigator, and that's not the point. It's about connecting with that person and see if they open up a little bit. And then if they're a friend or they're a loved one or they're a colleague at work, make them part of what's going on in your life, if possible. You know, get them involved, get them engaged. Because engaged people, connected people, are happier people. And that helps.
And this can be a problem at this time of the year as well, because it's a big change. There's, you know, everyone talks about the break, the holidays, and everything seems to stop and everything changes and we don't do what we normally do. So your normal support groups at work and so forth, all your colleagues aren't there. You might normally, you know, have morning tea and have a bit of a chat over a coffee or something, or you may go out to lunch, and if that's not happening, you haven't got that sort of level of social support, have you, at this time of the year?
It's quite possible that you don't have that kind of social support, but you can also seek out the social support. So don't just think, okay, my normal social supports are not available. Make sure that you look out for other types of social support. Get engaged with people. It's true, maybe your usual social supports are not there, but everybody else is partying, so everybody else is in a more happy mode, and they're willing to interact a little bit more. So use that. Engage with people at that level.
Yeah. And another thing someone told me once when I was perhaps a little bit down, I'm not in a situation that a lot of people are, but I remember they said, you've got to act, you've got to get out, you've got to do something. Get up. Often, you know, staying in bed for 3 days on end is a bit of a sign that something's going
on.
You've got to get up, get out of bed, get outside, and if it's a sunny day, it can really help, can't it? Nothing like a sunny day. This is one thing we have in Australia, particularly this time of the year. We've got sunny days. If you can get up and get out, walk around, makes a difference, doesn't it?
It makes a big difference. But at the same time, we don't want to trivialize it, because a person may need a 24-hour sleep or a good massage. There's enough research now saying the massages are good for your depression.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh.
A lot of people don't know how many other treatments besides the regular medication and stuff that we have going on, which there's more evidence that medication can actually make things a little bit worse. So we've got to be careful with that. But the other thing that I want to make sure is that people understand that there's so many other things they can do in order to help people. Listen to them. Sit down with them. Notice, are there changes? Make sure that they're involved. They don't need to be your family or your friend. Can you invite people that are going to be alone at Christmas? Can you invite them over? Connect. Also, remember, not everybody celebrates Christmas. Be respectful of that too, but it doesn't mean that you just go and party with your friends and forget about these people. Just make sure that it's a community. I mean, years ago, Christmas used to have a meaning, and for many Christian people, it still has a meaning. But for the majority of people, it has lost the meaning and it's become a time of pressure. Or have you heard the expression, the end of the year?
Oh, yes.
That puts so much pressure, doesn't it?
The end of
the year. It sounds like something is finishing, but it's not supposed to be like that. I mean, don't take it too seriously. The 2016 may be ending, but, you know, 2017 is starting. So is it the end of something or the opening of an opportunity? Seeing it positively is going to help your mental health as well. If you're thinking of suicide, call Lifeline, for example. They've got counselors there. Talk to someone about it.
Yes. I'll just look it up.
The number.
Do you know the number off by heart?
No.
I should know it too. I'll just look it up now. Lifeline.
But the important
thing
is there are services available.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you do need help, Lifeline is 131114, and you can ring that at any time. So at any time, whether it's the middle of the night, weekend, whatever, you can ring that number. So that's always good to have that in the back of your mind, because sometimes you just need to, like, if you're talking to yourself in your mind all the time, you need someone to bounce it off. You need to say it out loud, say it to someone, and they then will say, well, hang on, look, you're being a bit unreasonable here, you're being too hard on yourself or something like that, because someone else can see something from the outside that you can't feel from the inside, I suppose.
Yes. And it's important that we all bring our expectations a little bit lower. I think having very high expectations as to how I should feel during the Christmas, or how everybody else should behave during the Christmas, or what a depression should look like, and therefore, you know, calm down. It just creates more stress. Why do that to ourselves? Lower your expectations and your levels of happiness will go up. And as a community, we can do that for each other. You know, just take it easy. Don't be so serious. We have very high rules of what success looks like. And we're giving ourselves a lot of problems that are completely unnecessary. And another cause that I think why mental health issues are increasing is because, funnily enough, we're becoming more aware of it, but that's not the problem. The problem is that the education that we're giving people as to what mental health problems are, it's, in my view, incorrect, and it's causing more problems than it actually fixes. We've got to be careful with that. We need to make sure that we provide the type of education that is going to help, really help people come out of the hole. So that's what my own experience is. I'm not here because I was in a hole. I'm here because I know how to get out of the hole. I consider myself recovered. I don't take medication. I do take care of myself. But
wow,
I
that's
have a
fantastic
diagnosis.
You've done really well.
I'm like the phoenix coming out of the ashes.
Yeah.
And I think that's more important as an education. And, you know, what's required to get out of the hole? I mean, there's too much training that shows people what it feels like to be in a hole. You know what? I don't need people to teach me what, you know, how to be depressed. I don't need that.
Yeah.
Most of us know what it feels.
Yeah.
We know what it feels to be anxious. We may not know what it feels to be anxious over a long period of time or depressed to an extreme case, which is a little bit different. But we do have a sense of that. That's what we can empathize. So, what about teaching people what it takes to get out of the hole and what else is available? The medical system is one aspect, but it's a one-tenth of what is available. There's all these other richness of treatments and options that for workplaces, unless we bring them into it, we're going to create more problems. I continue.
And what did you write about in your book?
My book, The Power of Now.
Yeah.
Sorry. Reclaim Your Power. Reclaim Your Power. See, this book was distilled from my years of experience of being in a hole and that process of getting out.
Mm-hmm.
I had to change the way I thought about things. I had to change how I viewed the world, how I processed things. It was a huge U-turn on how I directed my life. And that got me out of the hole. It's not about my experiences it being in the hole.
Mm.
It is about what did it take to tap into my power? Because a lot of people, like myself, we think that we're powerless, we're helpless. But that was a lie. Now I look back and that was a lie that I told myself. I was really afraid. I was really scared. And that made me feel helpless.
Mm.
And in turn, the helplessness fed my hopelessness.
Mm.
And now I was a person with lots of fear, feeling weak even though I wasn't, and no vision for my future.
Mm.
So I had to go and turn that around. As part of my recovery, I went and did a social work degree with the Australian Catholic University.
Mm-hmm.
Then I specialized in mental health, and then I went into workplaces, and my career started there. And I also went out and I thought from a clinical and more personally experimental perspective for me, and say, what have I been told that is not actually working? And that's what's propelled me to be here today.
Oh, okay.
Because there's a lot of stuff that we're teaching people that's not very helpful.
Yeah. And I was just thinking too, like, it's not so much Christmas often, it's New Year's Eve, because there's this big pressure to be at some big party or something. What if you're not at some big party? Are you a big failure in life because you're not at some big party, you know?
Maybe you're a parent.
Maybe. But if you're at home alone thinking, and you're hearing all this hilarity going on around you, that's really bad, isn't it? Because you can hear, here's evidence as of your social failure.
Yes.
But not necessarily. I mean, you know, maybe you can read a good book.
You could read a book. Maybe it'll be clean.
Read your book.
Reclaim Your Power. Yes, you bring up a very important point. Am I missing out? That's a sense of...
Yeah,
of,
missing
it can
out,
cause
isn't
a lot
it?
Of
yeah.
suffering for people. Am I missing out? And the other one is we've been taught to do a bucket list of things that we should be achieving during our life.
Oh, yes.
Bad idea. A bad idea. I actually recommend to people, which makes them feel really good, is do a bucket list of things you have achieved during your lifetime. Do an Excel spreadsheet if you like that kind of thing. And, you know, put all the things that you have ticked off in your life. And guess what? If you do that right at this time, you're going to feel really good about your life.
Yeah.
There's so many things that you have achieved, so many things you have learned. You're such an interesting human being, but you may have forgotten that you are.
Yeah. Well, I certainly meet interesting human beings in radio all the time, which is one of the reasons I love being here. But I think, you know, a lot of going back to the problems that we've been talking about, so much of this is really caused by big city life, isn't it? It's in in the village where, you know, if people lived as they used to in communities, the community would know if someone hasn't been out and about much lately or someone wasn't looking right, people would start saying, oh, I'm just wondering about so-and-so. Maybe we should go and the village would come together and help the person, wouldn't they? But yeah. We don't seem to have the village in modern life in big cities.
We have changed the way we try to connect with each other, isn't it? I mean, I arrived to the train station today and I sat down on the bench next to a man that had a smartphone. Mm. And I sat down and I was, you know, there was nobody to talk to, so I took out my smartphone. And another guy came in and sat between us and he already had his smartphone out.
Mm.
So it's not like the proximity community feels isolating, but yeah. We were actually probably on Facebook contacting and communicating with somebody else. So it's the way the community is shaped has changed a lot.
Yeah.
You can feel very lonely if you're not careful,
yeah.
or you can feel very connected if you use it smartly. Yeah. So I encourage people, we have so many means of communication, but you know, but the key thing to feel connected is not that people talk to you, is that you talk to people. So you got to reach out of yourself and talk to people. Whether you have a mental health issue or not, reach out, connect, say hello. If you do it on Facebook, if you do a like on Facebook or a little heart or whatever it is that you need to, or an emoji or anything, connect, give back. Because giving back is a good, important aspect of creating community and feeling better about yourself. And it's a gift that you give to other people.
The first thing, I tried to learn a bit of Italian, and the first thing I was taught was, hello, my name is Rod. Buongiorno, mi chiamo Rod.
Molto bene.
And that's what you should do. So all you have to do is go up to someone and say, hi, I'm Rod, and you know, and there you go.
Yes.
Then,
and it makes the other person feel good.
Yeah.
Doesn't
yeah.
it? Because
it does. You've acknowledged
tried.
Them. You've acknowledged them, their existence. And,
yes. And,
and
you gave a gift of yourself, didn't you?
Yeah.
We don't think about smiling and saying hello to another person in terms of a gift, but you have. You have connected. You have engaged. You have given them something. You've broken up their routine the day, and that's beautiful. That's great.
Well, look, I've got a lot from your energy today, Pedro. I'm feeling really good now.
Me too.
So thank you for coming in. Thank you for talking to us here on The Daily. Yeah.